It's not only news, it's science breakthroughs. Tomorrow's technologies. Advanced medical techniques. It's a glimpse into the future where we discuss artificial intelligence, earth and energy, enhanced humans, future society, health and medicine, space, robots and machines. Welcome to Science Bites with Joe and Craig.
Today is Thursday, November 19, 2020. This episode is the last of our season one. We will be back for season two on January 21st, 2021.
Today's episode is also listed as adult content. Our entire show will be recorded as usual and is safe for tender ears. But our quick bite section at the end will contain our recording bloopers. Some include foul language. For parents' discretion, we are warning you now. We will remind you again before playing that section. Okay, that's the end of our pre-disclosure. Now let's talk about murder.
Yes, murder hornets. Signs of the aggressive insect, formerly known as the Asian giant hornet, were first spotted in the Pacific Northwest in December 2019. Only dead hornets were found at the time. 5 months later, Washington state officials spotted the wasps emerging from hibernation, ringing alarm bells and making headlines.
Last month, an entire murder hornet nest was spotted north of Seattle near the Canadian border. And there's more bad news. According to the Washington State Department of Agriculture, an investigation of the nest found 500 live specimens in various stages of development, including 200 queens. That's terrible news, since each of those 200 queens has the potential to start its own nest somewhere else.
The 2-inch-long killers can pose a real threat to bee population around the country. They're able to kill beehives in mere hours, decapitating the gentle honeybees and feeding the corpse to their own offsprings.
So brutal.
I know.
And yes, their stingers also hurt like hell, but they aren't deadly to humans unless you go into anaphylactic shock after being stung by swarms of them. The nest also contained 190 larvae, 112 worker bees, and 6 unhatched eggs. There were another 76 new virgin queens as well in their early stages of development. These things sound really scary, Joe.
I don't
even want to see them.
Washington officials have set hundreds of traps to fight the invasive species and to limit them from the state. It's an uphill battle, though, as the bee population are already in decline for the winter.
You know what I find more horrifying than murder hornets with stingers that can pierce blue jeans is the steady pace towards Terminator machines. In the near future, the U.S. Army plans to deploy packs of semi-autonomous robot tanks armed to the brim with chain guns, missiles, and other fearsome weaponry.
Two classes of these robotic combat vehicles are already under development, with a third already on their way. As they make their way to the future battlefields, they will be used to lead the charge of both conventional and electronic warfare in the years to come.
The U.S. Army is building robotic combat vehicles, or for short, RCVs, as lights, mediums, and heavies. Respectively, the three are lightweight scouting vehicles, heavily armed mini-tanks, and powerful artillery vehicles. For now, the Army wants to make sure that it's a human pulling the trigger on the weapons, so each vehicle will have one human remotely steering and another person remotely operating their weapons. The tanks will still be partially autonomous, but humans will take over once they reach the front lines or guide them through enemy fire.
In addition to more conventional battles, the Army wants the RCVs to take down swarms of drones. Anti-drone laser were too heavy for the RCV light, so instead, the Army is looking for ways to jam electronic communications and make the drones useless.
The United States is not alone. Over the next decades, the British Army may enlist tens of thousands of robotic soldiers. General Nick Carter, Chief of the Defense Staff for the British Army, suggests that the new drones and robots could make up a significant fraction of their armed forces. Part of the plan is to compensate for a drop in the number of human recruits, but at the same time, Carter admits that the future of robotic warfare is hazy at this time.
Carter said that the massive push for robotic military, in which large numbers of autonomous and remote-control robotic soldiers replace the human fighters, could be operational by 2030.
Every branch of the British military is already experimenting with military drones, like the I-9, a rotorcraft equipped with two shotguns. That's meant to be piloted in hostile buildings. But even so, Carter warns that a future including automated warfare is a future in which wars could accidentally begin based on one error. He warned about escalation leading to miscalculation. I don't know, Joe, the more we get into this with autonomous warfighters and stuff, the more I think of Terminator. I know I said that this entire season, but it just freaks me out that what if hackers hack into it and then turn those drones and stuff on the people that was supposed to be controlling them?
No.
I don't know. Okay, we're going to take a quick break for a commercial. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden's transition into office, he's appointed a squad of 8 volunteers to catch him up.
The team includes a diverse mix of NASA personnel, including a former astronaut and several chief scientists. While the team is made up of temporary volunteers, they aren't members of Biden's cabinet as much as transition period aides. Its composition illustrates a much deeper commitment to gender and racial diversity than NASA's current leadership. Over the next 2 months, the team will help Biden transition to power and prep them for NASA's future under their leadership. The team will have its work cut out for it, especially given the current NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine's recent announcement that he will leave NASA once Biden replaces Trump. Though, to his credit, Bridenstine oversaw NASA as it made its strides to promote women in space and committed to sending the first woman to the moon. Biden is also no stranger to NASA. During the Obama administration, Biden played a large role in NASA's operations, even coordinating the space agency's ongoing partnership with SpaceX.
So the Artemis program and the space programs Craig and I discussed on the show will remain intact.
Yeah, we had a few emails about that. NASA programs do not change based on presidential elections, so everyone can breathe easy knowing Artemis is on track.
Speaking of Artemis and the moon program, a UK-based engineering firm has signed a contract with the European Space Agency to develop a way to extract breathable oxygen from moon dust.
The firm has previously published research that details a method to extract 96% of the oxygen from lunar regolith. After extraction, the resultant mixed metal alloy could theoretically be used to breathe, construct shelters on the moon's surface, or even power spaceships that push even deeper into space.
These options could be major changes for the space exploration. One of the main drivers of the project using resources already on the moon rather than transporting them from Earth. There's quite a cost associated with taking things into space. The more we can utilize what's already on the moon will cut our costs. In addition, if we want to go deeper into space, a gas station on the moon will be essential.
Every time I hear, like, gas station on the moon, Joe, I always think of, like, I don't know, a Jetsons little gas station, like, sitting out on some outpost somewhere.
I think of a jetpack. Just fill a backpack and off I go.
According to previous analysis of moon rocks, oxygen accounts for roughly 45% of their weight. The rest is alloys of aluminum, silicon, and iron. The UK company proposes an electrodeoxidation process that involves the electrochemical reduction of metal oxides to metal in molten salt, which is CaCi2, at temperatures of around 900 degrees Celsius. Similar processes have already been used here on Earth to extract minerals from rock. The process, however, off-gases oxygen as a byproduct, instead of capturing and storing it for use later, which is what the company wants to do.
One of the hardest parts of space travel is food.
I'm hungry already.
Yeah, humans need a variety of flavors and textures during long space flights. Many people, after time in confinement, start craving meat.
And you can't send cows into space to live on a spaceship. The methane from their farts would probably kill everybody on board, let alone the amount of food they consume.
Can you imagine seeing cows fly by in the air? These people imagine enough things. Imagine seeing a cow go by.
That would be funny. But while they're floating, if they're milk-bearing cows, you can just kind of squeeze the udders a bit and get some milk while they're passing by.
Yeah, but the pressure will change and they'll probably blow up like a blimp.
If they fart, they would probably just zoom. All right, carry on. That's funny.
So if we can't bring animals, the next best thing in making meat is using meat-growing technology or using plant-based meats.
When this concept first came out, people wrinkled their nose and said, ew, but that may change very soon.
Yeah, well, fast food chain McDonald's is making a huge push into the plant-based foods with a platform. It's called McPlant. New menu-based items will include a sandwich made available by next year.
McPlant is crafted exclusively for McDonald's by McDonald's. In the future, McPlant could extend across a line of plant-based products, including burgers, chicken substitutes, and breakfast sandwiches.
While many restaurant chains have adapted to plant-based protein options for their menus over the past few years, McDonald's operation sheer scale could greatly accelerate the trend.
McDonald's started testing a vegetarian patty made by Beyond Meat, an LA-based plant-based meat producer, at select Canadian restaurants in September of 2019. However, the share price of Beyond Meat dipped as a result of the news that McDonald's bringing this to an in-house processing. Burger King's plant-based Whopper Burger, in contrast, uses a patty made from another meat alternative, Juggernaut, Impossible Foods.
Craig and I have made many meals using plant-based meats. Many of them came out tasting better than the beef and much healthier for us also.
Yeah, we've made plant-based meatloaf, shepherd's pie, chicken nuggets, tacos, meat sauce, and other things. But we still incorporate some meats in our diet, just not as much. And mainly because we believe that being omnivores, we are built to consume a variety of foods. In addition, I am not ready to give up cheese anytime soon.
Yeah, you and your cheese.
I like regular cheese, like dairy cheese.
Okay, now it's time to stop. Make sure you put your headphones on if you have any tender ears around.
Yep, it is time for some of those bloopers we made while recording this season's shows.
Okay, here we go.
Hope you enjoy listening to some of our screw-ups. Horseshoe crab's milky blue blood provides the only known natural... Horseshoe crab's milky blue blood provides the only known natural source of limonous amebocyte black site. Limulus amebocyte lysate. Horseshoe crab's milky blue blood provides the only known natural source of limulus... Damn it. Horseshoe crab's milky blue blood provides the only known natural source of limulus amebocyte lysate, a substance that detects a contaminant called endotoxin.
The part of the DNA serves as batteries, powering various functions of the cell and the organisms. There it is again. Shut up. That's your problem with that word. Orgasm.
These rare conditions, which include Leber hereditary, optic... These rare conditions, which include Leber hereditary, optic neuropathy, and lethal infantile cardiomyopathy... These rare conditions, which include Leber hereditary, optic neuropathy, and lethal infantile cardiomyopathy.
The molecule is two polynucleotide chains that carry the genetic blueprint that makes it possible for orgasm. Thanks, Craig. I know you got to put this in every week.
That makes it possible for orgasm.
Thanks. Every week.
Genetic blueprint does come after orgasm, I guess. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Discovered in 1817 by a Swedish... Swedish? Swedish? Where the hell did that come from? must cut the brain into fine slices, scan each slice with an electron microscope.
I'm laughing over here. Short break, and when we return, we'll have a quick bite for you on radiation shielding fuck us.
Yeah, today that's exactly what it is. Fuck us. God, I can't talk.
It's fungus. Fungus.
Fungus.
Fuckus.
Fuckus.
I saw a K. But it
There's
was
no
fungus.
K there. That's
well,
just...
the way it looked for me, it looked like fungus. Fuckus.
Fungus. Fungus. Fuckus. Fuckius.
Radiation shielding fuckus. Fuck us. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll have a quick bite for you about radiation shielding fungus.
He didn't sound very
No, because I was on to it again. Fungus. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll have a
short break. Johns Hopkins University and Stanford scientists behind the ISS study found that in extremely thin samples of the fungus Cryocotocophis neuroformans,
I knew you weren't going
to
get that.
Was able to block and absorb.
Well, good luck. Cryocotocophis
neoformans.
Yeah, cryptococcus, yeah, after my fuckus. We got a fuckus, cryptococcus.
Cryptococcus. Stop it. Cryptococcus neoformans.
Yeah. Fuckus.
Cryptococcus.
Fuckus. Cryptococcus. It's in your neoformus.
Cryptococcus. No. You see, you got me all screwed up.
You said cryptococcus.
Johns Hopkins University and Stanford scientists behind the ISS study found that an extremely thin sample of the fungus Cryptococcus neoformans was able to block and absorb 2% of the cosmic rays that hit it while it was on the ISS.
Well, that brings us to the end of another fucking show, so get off your goddamn ass and listen to our podcast if you fucking want to on Alexa, Spotify, or any mother fucking platforms, or just visit our goddamn website. Good night.
Oh, my God. You totally caught me by surprise with that.
Really?
I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't see that. It's been a really long day, people.
Hey, so no more. Just because you live in the woods and you have the doorbell, you can't have sex at 2 a.m. in the morning on the front lawn.
People are going to be like, what the hell? Who's having sex on the front lawn?
You can tie it to your cat's tail and just drag it. But according to the press release, these cats.
Shit. These cats.
It looked like cats.
These cats will be delivered on your driveway. Dapper could give us a whole new level of understanding of how stars formed in the first place.
Big Bang, you know what you can do with that dark side.
Anyway, the company is planning to test a reusable splice plane. That's a new word. Anyway, the company is planning to test a new. That's not even in there. What are you reading? Okay, let's try it again. Anyway, the company is planning to test a reusable splice plane. I don't know what's wrong with me. Splice plane. Oh my God. Let's try it again. Anyway, the company is planning to test a reusable splice. Why do I keep saying splice? Where did splice come from?
You take the word out. That's what I have to do.
Oh my God. Alright, here we go. Ready? Got it. Anyway, the company is planning to test a reusable space plane system. Of course, these users are getting what they pay for. Precipitation? Precipitation in the public beta.
Yeah, right.
Sound like a weather person. A predicted glitch that SpaceX told uteruses to expect.
In 48 years, an asteroid named after the Egyptian god of chaos Apophagus. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
You gotta get it just right.
I know. Hi. Yeah. 48 years. Hello.
Hello. Hello back.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when we return, we will have a quick bite to talk about the hunt for alien technology civilizations. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we will have a quick bite for you about the hunt for alien technology. Or techno stuff your ass. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll have a quick bite. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll have a quick bite for you about the hunt for alien civilizations. Now, Harvard Medical School neurologists have discovered a population of neurons in a hypothalamus that control...
Hypothalamus.
Hypothalamus.
But you have to put it together.
Someday, shadows and light could team up to provide power. A new device uses the contrast between bright spots and shade to create a current that can power small electronics like cell phones, outdoor lighting, and other low power consumption items.
Sui Cheng Tan.
Christ. Holy shit.
It didn't sound funny when I was typing it.
Oh my God. I give up. Sweet. Here we go again. Sweet. Sweet.
It does sound like a bunch of pots being thrown in a room.
Sweet chin tan.
Okay, I got this. Who would name that child Sweet Chin Tan? Oh, they must have not liked him when he was born. Okay. I got this.
In case you're all wondering, we're having a hard time on the next thing. Because I think we should just say SCT. Because Craig's having a hard time saying the word.
Here we go. Sui Cheng Tan, a materialist scientist at the National University of Singapore, and his team created the device.
That brings us to the close of Season 1. You can find our shows on our website, MyScienceBites.com, and on all podcast platforms.
Joe and I are grateful to you, our listeners. Because of your dedication, we are now broadcasting in 19 countries and have been scheduled for Season 2, which starts on January 21st, 2021. Thanks again for listening, and enjoy a safe and fun holiday season. We'll see you again in January.